Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today country. And, of course, along with Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us today. And trust that you're having a great day so far. I so often say that if you're living according to the Word of God, your day will be great, even in the midst of the trials of life. And so it's just a delight to have you folks with us today. Dave, how are you today, my friend?
Gary, I'm doing just great. It's beautiful, sunshiny weather here in North Carolina and going to get better over the next several days. So couldn't be better. The blessings of the Lord are stellar on top of the good weather.
Amen. Sam, how about down where you are in the Philly area?
Well, it's doing fine right now, too. However, we are anticipating some major storms with hail and strong wind here in the next hour or two. So it's coming our way. But on the other side of that, cooler, you know, we just can't get out of this winter syndrome. Down about 32 degrees tonight. This is not the way it ought to be, but we'll do with what we can.
You know, it's supposed to snow out here on Friday. How do you like that?
Well, I don't.
I know, but it's going to, whether you want. Whether anyway, we'll take what comes. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say something before we get into the program today. Wherever you might be listening, I just want to mention that one of the issues that we're facing in the nation today is the growth of Islam. And on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, that's April 26th, 27th, and 28th, the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference is going to be holding its spring session, and the topic is Israel, ISIS, and the Middle East. Our speaker will be Tom Wallace, who has many years of research in religion, in the religion of Islam, and experience with Muslims on a personal basis, and he is going to be our speaker. That is Sunday, April the 26th through Tuesday, April the 28th. And we would invite you to attend that particular conference. And even if you live miles away from Altoona, Pennsylvania, we would be delighted to have you come. I'd encourage you to call 814-944-2894 if you have any questions on the conference. That's 814-944-2894. A very significant conference for those of us who are concerned about what's going on in Israel with ISIS and the Middle East. Well, today we are delighted to have a guest with us, and of course he is a local veterinarian here in the city of Altoona, Matthew Stachmus. And I always murder his name. I'm glad he's a Christian with grace. But Matthew, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
And he is here for a particular reason, and of course that's the fact that on next Tuesday, April the 28th, the United States Supreme Court is scheduled to hear arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. And in order to make a statement about that, this coming Saturday, there is going to be a March for Marriage. It's the 2015 March for Marriage. And I think that this is a very, very significant march. The issue is very, very significant. And Matthew, I was quite surprised yesterday to see that you have been named in the newsletter of the organizers putting together the March for Marriage. In fact, the president of the march, Brian Brown, said this. He said, "I just received a phone call from a lovely couple in Altoona, Pennsylvania, who have chartered a bus and gathered 30 of their friends to come to the March for Marriage next weekend. Isn't this wonderful?" And so, Matthew, I just want to tell you that there's somebody who thinks that you're wonderful beside your wife.
Well, they were probably saying most of those comments about my wife, because it was Brian Brown and his staff that was talking to my wife, Anna. And if you're listening, Anna, thank you. Thank you for being just a wonderful and godly wife to me, and I appreciate your support.
And it's always good to have a good, solid wife behind you, isn't it, brother?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, first of all, tell us about the march, and then we can talk more perhaps about this idea of the Supreme Court next week and what they're going to be doing. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. In fact, we mentioned that you would be with us, Matthew. So tell us a little bit about the march, if you would, please.
So this is the will be the third time that we've taken folks to go down to Washington. It'll be the third march. And basically it is to defend the truth of God in marriage, because we believe quite simply that children deserve to have a mom and a dad, and that there are obvious differences in the genders because God created men and women differently. And I love my children. I care for them, and I protect them. That being said, the things I offer my children are not the same things that my wife offers them, but they're both good things from God. I'm not a woman. I'll never be a woman. My woman's not, or my wife is not a man, and she'll never be a man. We're created differently. Scientists can tell the difference in the genders just by looking at their brain waves. We're wired differently. We're created differently, men and women. But we're both created in the image of God, and that's His plan for procreation, for the family, which is the foundation of our society. And that is why it's so important. We, in order to have a healthy nation, we must have healthy families. And this march is a public display of just how much we believe in the institution of marriage here in the United States.
And, of course, it's more than a march. There are going to be a number of guest speakers there, correct?
That's correct.
I see Jim Garlow is going to be there. Jim has somewhat of an association with us here at the American Pastors Network. Dran Reese. Sam, you know Dran Reese, don't you? I mean, you have a... You've dealt with her in the past in some circumstances, have you not?
Oh, yes, I have certainly. Actually, most of those who are speaking there, we have, as far as the network is concerned. I think it was last year at this time that I was able to speak on behalf of the American Pastors Network at that rally.
You remember that, Matt?
Yes, yes.
And so it's a good group and a good – I'm glad you're a part, Matt. I'm glad you're leading the way in that. Very important.
Senator Ruben Diaz has been instrumental in this, too. He's a state senator in New York, and also a pastor. And last year, I think they brought over 40 some buses. They're going to bring another 40 some this year. So yes, that it's if you've been to the march before, it's not what we in Central Pennsylvania see when we go to church. There's a large number of Asian Christians, a large number of Blacks, a large number of Hispanics. It's a lot different than what we're used to when we walk into church every Sunday here in Central Pennsylvania. But it is the church that the Lord Jesus Christ is raising up to defend His truth.
Well, keep in mind you're talking to people far outside of Central Pennsylvania, Dr. Matt, and it could very well be that there are people across our network today who would be interested in going to this march. How would they be able to get in touch with you if indeed they have that desire?
Well, I'll give you my our phone number. It's 814-650-5578, and they can email us at altoona4marriage, that's all one word, A-L-T-O-O-N-A, 4marriage, at gmail.com.
Okay, and I would encourage you to consider going to this march, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we'll ask Matt to give that information again as to how you can get in touch with him. But this is a very significant march. This whole idea of marriage is really at the very core of our society, and we do need to stand for it on every level and in every effort that we can. We'll be back with more right after this. I'm Gary Dahl.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage.
That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
A gunshot at high noon on this day, April 22, 1889, began the famous Oklahoma land rush. Within 9 hours, some 2 million acres became the private property of settlers who staked their claims. Riding as fast as they could, many found plots already taken by Sooners, individuals who had entered the territory sooner than was permitted. The remaining land was assigned to various Indian tribes who joined together in approving the Constitution of the state of Oklahoma in 1907. The preamble begins, "Invoking the guidance of Almighty God in order to secure and perpetuate the blessings of liberty."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
At a speech given at the Pennsylvania Leadership Conference in Camp Hill on Friday, April 17, 2015, Cheryl Atkison, investigative reporter and journalist, was asked for her thoughts on the Tea Party. Here is Cheryl's response.
Well, I'm interested in the Tea Party. I can't say I know that much about it, but for a story I did the last year I was at CBS, and I can't remember why I needed it. I want to know the latest poll numbers on support or lack thereof for the Tea Party. And I assumed, like a lot of people, everybody hates the Tea Party, nobody likes Tea Party, because that's sort of the theme you always hear, oh, the Tea Party, they're a bunch of this and that. Well, to my surprise, and I had no agenda, I just wanted the facts, the CBS polling unit called back and said the last poll we did showed, and I hesitate to use a number because I don't remember the number, but it was extraordinary. It's something, I'm going to say, upwards of 75% or more of Americans agreed with some of the values or the agenda of the Tea Party. And I don't know what they had listed as the values or agenda, or if they had, or they just posed the question. But I was like, that is so different than the reality. So I think there's been an AstroTurf campaign, of course, to controversialize the Tea Party because somebody sees that as damaging. And I think some of that's been within the Republican Party itself, which has done this to the Tea Party.
The liberty of the press consists in the right to publish with impunity truth, with good motives, for justifiable ends. To disallow, it is fatal. Alexander Hamilton, 1804.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man, and brave, and hated, and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are talking about the March for Marriage that will be taking place this Saturday in Washington, D.C. at 10 a.m., and we have a local organizer who's taking a busload of people to the march. He is Matt Stachmus. He, of course, is a veterinarian in the Altoona, Pennsylvania area where I happen to live. And this is the third year in a row that he has put together this particular march. And, of course, it's to make a statement. And Matthew, the other day when you and I were talking about this march and how significant it is in light of the fact that next Tuesday, the United States Supreme Court is going to be hearing arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. You indicated to me that in your estimation, this is one of the most, if not the most important issues we face in America today, correct?
Amen. This is this has been called the Roe v. Wade for marriage. And it is definitely, in my lifetime and many of your listeners' lifetimes, probably the most important event as far as the potential possibilities that could come out of this decision here. So we must be really in devout prayer for the justices and also for the attorneys who will be defending the truth of God for those states that because basically that there's four cases before the court in which gay couples have been married in a state that had accepted that type of union, moved to another state which had not. And basically that's the question. Well, what happens then? You have people who were accepted as far as a union that we consider against our religious beliefs in one place. And by the way, 31 states have had a popular vote on the issue of gay marriage, and 31 of them had said when it was put before the people, no, we do not want to change the definition of marriage. So the majority of states have voted on this and said we want to maintain marriage between one man and one woman. Now, the Supreme Court is going to hear these arguments from both sides. There have been amicus briefs from both sides given to the court, and we need to be in fervent prayer for these justices. Because we know traditionally that a lot of these things come down to a 5-4 decision. And this may, the fate of marriage may come down to one or two persons' decisions here. I'm reading from Proverbs 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, mm-hmm. as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Mm. And then it goes on to say, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. We need to be praying for the truth of God to be revealed, even if it's in some supernatural way to these justices or those two justices who are on the fence to side with the truth of God.
Mm. Well, it's interesting, Matt. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but just recently, Senator Ted Cruz actually came out on this, and he is asking pastors all over the country to preach about biblical marriage this coming Sunday, April the 26th, and then lead prayer services on Tuesday, April the 28th. And this morning I recorded, our church has a radio program on four stations on Sunday morning, and I recorded the message on marriage.
Praise God.
And I'm encouraging all other pastors to do the same. Dave, you are very much involved with pastors across the nation. What do you have to say to pastors about this? I mean, we talk about that a lot here at the American Pastors Network, but this is right up the alley of every Bible-believing pastor who stands on the authority of Scripture, is it not?
Well, Gary, it absolutely is. Genesis 2:18 says this, and this is God speaking, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help, meet or suitable for him. And if you look at the Hebrew term, it literally means as his opposite. In other words, men and women are opposite in so many ways, as Matt was talking about earlier. And so this entire push for gay marriage, this entire attempt to legalize same-sex marriage is the most direct affront against the God of heaven and the most defiant action against him that could possibly be expressed. And so I want to say to the pastors who are listening to this program across the country, this coming Sunday, there's been a challenge issued by a number of people, including Senator Ted Cruz. The American Pastors Network is basically issuing the same challenge. Please address this topic from your pulpit. Let your people know what God has to say about marriage, about the definition of it, about the fact that homosexuality is, same-sex marriage is an abomination in the sight of God, and encourage your people to pray earnestly as they've ever prayed between now and next Tuesday, when this critical argumentation will go before the high court. And as we said yesterday, Gary, within 5 to 7 days after next Tuesday, the decision will have been rendered. Now, it will not be announced until June, but the decision most likely will have been made in the next 5 to 7 days after next Tuesday. So this is, I believe personally, I'm in agreement with Matt. I think it's the most important issue to face us in our lifetime.
You know, Sam, there's another issue here, and that is the issue that this thing shouldn't even be coming before the United States Supreme Court. When we read our Constitution to see what it is that the federal government is responsible for, one of the things it is not responsible for or should even be touching on is this idea of marriage, correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct. And there is an aspect about what may be done here that has ramifications. Matt alluded to ramifications coming out of it, and of which there are. There are potential ramifications coming out of this. If the court overrules this, that may affect, give an avenue for those who despise marriage and who want to change the definition to pursue legal action and that kind of thing. So there's a number of things, but the thing that really concerns me the most bears down what you're talking about there, Gary. And that is, when any nation, any government, and in this case, the judicial branch, but it could be the legislature, but any official, the government of a nation actually takes what God proclaims to be true and declares it by the force of man to be false, that nation, or vice versa, declaring what God declares to be sin and declaring it to be acceptable. When these things happen, that's a manifestation of God's judgment on a nation. And God will deal with the nation. I mean, there are ramifications to Roe versus Wade. There's ramifications to this nation ensconcing in law that murder is, in fact, acceptable. Same thing here when it goes down to the heart of marriage. These are the kinds of things that come to bear. And so it's a major, major, major issue. So we need to pray. We do need to pray. Absolutely. Preachers need to preach. And God's people, wherever they are, need to look in their own heart and say, are we holding in our own heart attitudes towards idolatry? Because ultimately, that's what you're talking about here, Gary. This is saying we don't view God as God. We view ourselves as God, and we're going to determine what's right. That's idolatry. It's a rejection of God. That's what bears at the heart of this and has long-term ramifications.
I would even encourage pastors who have midweek services, whether it's Wednesday or Thursday night, to start to talk about this issue, because it's very significant to get this information from the Word of God out before Christians all across this nation. Dr. Matthew, you are going to be putting together this march on Saturday, and my hat's off to you. Personally, I'd like to go, but, you know, I've got various things going on, and sorry about that, but you're one of my heroes, and I appreciate the stand that you take. Why don't you just share a few facts about that march, how people can get in touch with you if they want to go, and then anything else that you want to say about this entire subject?
All we're really doing, Gary, is we're just bringing some people on a bus. I'm not organizing the march. I'm a part of it. I'm a very small part of it. But if we had a church of witnesses, of people who were doing just little things like we're doing, this nation would be a much different place, and we wouldn't be having to organize this kind of thing to begin with. Before I forget, my wife reminded me, please go to www.call, C-A-L-L, the number 2, and fall, F-A-L-L. www.call, the number 2, fall. Click on blog, and then you can find a link there for the Stand for Marriage Sunday. Particularly you pastors there, Stand for Marriage Sunday. Check that out. If you want to contact us here in Altoona, phone us at 814-650-5578. That's 814-650-5578. Or email Altoona, A-L-T-O-O-N-A, for marriage, all one word, at gmail.com. Just to touch on one other thing, the ramifications here. This is kind of what's already happened. We know that the individuals in this nation and the government have already gone after Bakers. We have that couple, that Christian couple out west that were forced actually out of business. Last I heard, the husband was working as a trash hauler. We have florists that have been gone after. We have photographers who have lost court battles for the gay agenda. We have military chaplains who are being brought before courts because they believe the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We have Christian counselors now in this nation, multiple states. I went to a conference a few weeks ago in New Jersey. Christian counselors aren't allowed to counsel people on homosexuality. Adoption agencies closed. Christian retreat centers have been affected, and proprietors of marriage chapels as well. So there are going to be greater and more broadened repercussions of this. We must stick together. This is a spiritual battle. We must work together in the power of the Lord, in prayer and fasting, calling upon the blood of Christ and fighting for the truth of God.
That's absolutely right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time to stand for marriage. We'll be back with more right after this on Stand in the Gap Today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. A suspected terrorist plot against churches is foiled in France.
A 24-year-old arrested in Paris after apparently shooting himself by mistake, according to officials. He called for an ambulance, then police followed a trail of blood to his car, and inside there were loaded guns and notes about targets. It seems he may have claimed one victim. He's accused of the random killing of a woman in Paris this past weekend.
Fox News Radio's Simon Owen. The suspect's a computer science student from Algeria. Pope Francis will visit Cuba before the United States in September.
The 78-year-old Argentinian has been credited with helping the U.S. and Cuba restore diplomatic ties. Delegations from both Cuba and the U.S. met at the Vatican in October. After Cuba, Pope Francis plans to visit Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York.
Fox News Radio's Courtney Walsh. Fox News, we report. You decide.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the almighty ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."
The 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast will be held Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Radisson Penn Harris Hotel, 1150 Camp Hill Bypass in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. This year's breakfast theme is God Answers Our Prayers, and the featured speaker is Philip A. Clemens, Chairman of the Clemens Family Corporation and CEO of Hatfield Quality Meats. Mr. Clemens will share why God answers our prayers and how this has personally impacted his life journey. Cost for the breakfast is $25 per person, or $300 to sponsor a table of eight. Consider taking the time to join others in prayer on Tuesday, May 5th at this 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast. To reserve your spot by the April 30th deadline, or for event questions, contact Stephanie at 814-931-7841. That's 814-931-7841. 814-931-7841.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And on behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dull. And again, we were talking about the United States Supreme Court hearing arguments for same-sex marriage next Tuesday. I encourage every pastor to talk about it, preach about it, teach about it in every possible way that you can. You might want to lead your congregations to pray hard and to fast. That is going to mean a whole lot. And of course, I don't know, Brother Sam, but, you know, if indeed the Supreme Court would come out and say that same-sex marriage is okay, and it becomes the law here in the United States of America, you know, I can't help but believe that our time is limited, much like Sodom and Gomorrah, because, you know, when we look back at Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, they had messengers who came and warned them that they've got to straighten up or they would be destroyed. They did not straighten up and they were destroyed. And of course, you know, that should be a lesson to us all across America today. So we simply need to pray that this thing is not looked at upon in a positive way by the United States Supreme Court, Sam.
Well, it's exactly correct, Gary. The implications we talked about are far above the moment. They extend generationally. And as you've said, comparing it to Sodom and Gomorrah, I mean, God, that's a nation, it's a city or cities there that, that God judged and completely removed them from history because of their, continued resistance and defying of the eternal laws of God. But that's a responsibility, that God places before every nation. And nations have come and gone in the history of the world, depending upon where they have been relative to God's law. Our founders understood that if they followed God's law and they followed biblical principles and they put that into effect and the church did what the church is supposed to do and the family did what the family is supposed to do according biblically and the civil government did, they knew that God would bless our nation. And God did bless our nation. But they also knew that if they walked away from it, as Israel of old did or other nations have done, that God, by his nature, would have to judge and discipline. And I believe, without a doubt, as we talk about so many things on this program, whether we talk about what's happening around the world, whether we're talking about what's happening domestic policy here or any of these things that are so troubling and problematic in our society today are really the result of our nation or individuals or society walking away from doing what God says. And for some reason, every civilization coming through history thinks that they have some new way and that they can defy what God has said. No one can, including not these United States of America. That is why we're dealing with the highest of matters here, whether or not a nation, regardless of its power, the United States, can defy God's law and expect that God won't deal with it. And as you said, God will deal with it. I believe he is dealing with it. And that's why God's people must be fully engaged in prayer and repentance before him now, so that God may turn his head and give us a reprieve. Otherwise, if they do this kind of thing here, it's almost going to be like an explanation point at the end of a long sentence that's been written for a long time. God will not simply overlook it.
Gary, Romans 1:18 says this, and this is exactly what the point that Sam is making. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And the word hold does not mean hold like you would place your palms up and have someone lay something in your hands and then you would hold it. The term literally refers to a palms down. You hold down. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness on the part of men who hold down, who suppress the truth by their godless choices and their godless living. And so if the high court next Tuesday issues a ruling, ultimately that says same-sex marriage is going to be the law of the land in this country, and they overturn the overwhelming will of states across this country, but more importantly, vastly more important, they try to overturn the will of God Almighty in defining marriage, then Gary, we are in more trouble than we can ever imagine. That's why the next 6 days are absolutely critical, that we petition the God of heaven, that pastors preach on this topic, that God's people in humility fast and pray like we've never prayed before. Indeed, the future of our nation hangs in the balance over the next 6 to 7 days.
And if we as pastors and Christians in general don't stand up and speak out on this issue right now, we are going to be a part of that chastisement in a great way, you know?
I mean, Gary, if we won't speak now, and I'm going to say it and say it strongly because I believe it to be the case. I am a preacher. You're a preacher. Sam's a preacher. If pastors and preachers will not address this topic, which is fundamental in the scripture, this is the basic building block of our culture, is marriage. If this, which is designed by God, is not important enough for pastors to address, I'm going to say it this way, Brother Gary, they're hirelings rather than genuine shepherds. They're hirelings rather than genuine shepherds.
Well, they are. And I would say to every pastor out there right now, just begin to plan that sometime, maybe tonight if you've got a midweek service or some other time this week, or Sunday, that you strongly emphasize this point of what the Bible says about marriage. Like I said, I've already done that in recording a radio program that goes out over four stations in central Pennsylvania on Sunday morning. I'm going to be dealing with it tonight in my own service and in at other times as well. And I would also say this, if you are a church member, a good Christian church member, why don't you call your pastor and encourage him to preach on this subject? You know, Sam, there may be pastors out there that wonder if they should or not. They don't know what kind of reaction they may receive from their congregation on this thing. They may think it's getting involved with the political process, and who knows what they might think. Sometimes maybe all they need is to have an encouragement from somebody or several people within their congregation and just be told, hey, look, it's okay. Go ahead and do it. You know, it's like that maybe they just need some permission to preach on this subject. But what do you think? I mean, you know, if it's not now that pastors stand up and speak in this issue, when will it be? You know, we may be running out of time.
Gary, I agree with you 100%. I mean, we know, unfortunately, and this is part of why I believe we're having a problem of this type in this nation. This last year, according to some Barna polls that were done actually a year ago, I think in 2014, there were, I think it was less than 25% of pastors polled across America at that point had even preached one sermon on marriage in that previous year, and less than half of them were planning to preach on it in this year. Now, that is a dramatic and dynamic statement there. And as you say, this is the point. If we are afraid to preach on something that is so clearly a part of the nature and the redemptive plan of God himself, marriage, designed right in the garden, if we're afraid that that will be itself controversial, how in the world can we preach about judgment from God and sin and the reality of hell and the need for redemption? If we're afraid to preach on something so clearly as that, so I would agree with what you're saying, folks, as you're listening. Encourage your pastor. He may already be hesitant to preach because of the controversial nature of same-sex marriage and that kind of thing, but encourage him from God's perspective. I mean, frankly, I would rather incur the ire of a few people in my congregation who don't believe the Bible than to stand before God incur his eternal ire. This is the kind of thing, this is the seriousness matter, and this is how people ought to look at it. But yes, people can encourage their pastors to do what is right, and certainly now is the time to do that.
And Sam, I can hear some pastor saying, well, you know, I would love to do that. I know I should do that, but I'm afraid I will lead my church to the point of losing its 501c3 tax-exempt status. What about that concern that somebody might have?
Well, Gary, no church, number one, has ever lost their 501c3 status for preaching anything. And certainly marriage is hardly a political issue. It is 100% God's issue, moral issue. And so no one, frankly, you raise that as an issue because many do or sometimes hide behind it. But there is no reason, Gary, no reason, including that thought of 501c3, that rises to the level of giving any pastor the justification of not preaching on God's standard for a man and a woman in marriage and what it means biblically. What a perfect time to talk about the plan of redemption in Jesus Christ and Christ developing the bride as the church and coming back. I mean, what a perfect time to take and put this all together so people perhaps maybe can understand it from God's perspective for the first time.
Give us a final challenge to pastors on this today, Brother Dave. This is a very significant subject. What's the final word?
Well, Gary, what Sam said is 100% correct. The fact that no one has ever been successfully litigated and lost their 501c3 status over this issue is completely, in one sense, immaterial. This is our divine obligation to say what God has to say on every issue, especially something as fundamental as this issue of marriage. So, pastors, this is our moment. This is an opportunity for us to rise to the occasion, stand up and speak forcefully, faithfully what God's word has to say. So let's do it this Sunday.
Pastors, this is what we've been called to do, to preach the truth, the whole counsel of God. Right now is the time to preach the truth on marriage. We will be back with more right after this, so stay tuned to Stand in the Gap Today.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Every year in the months of March through June, lobbyists are swarming the Pennsylvania Capitol building, and there are frequent rallies and demonstrations, sometimes multiple times a day. It's all because it's budget time, and special interests are looking for their piece of the pie, or should I say, our tax dollars. And so it was last week when Planned Parenthood bussed in demonstrators to demand even more money from the state for their activities. They already get millions, and it's only reasonable to believe that those dollars eventually end up promoting their biggest activity, which is abortion. We don't think Planned Parenthood should get any tax dollars, which is why we took to the Capitol last week to expose the truth about Planned Parenthood and abortion in Pennsylvania. You can find out more by downloading our special report at the website abortionispersonal.com. That's abortionispersonal.com. And you can find out about us at pafamily.org.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Do you remember in Matthew 8, 21? Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus made it very clear that when he gets around to asking us to do something, he understands already about all the other earthly things that we have going on in our life. Look, we don't put off earthly things for eternal things of God. Some of us may not be very good stewards of our time. I, for one, can be pretty good at procrastination, particularly when I need to do something I don't necessarily want to do. But when God calls, let's answer.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
With God's hand upon him, Nehemiah pursued the impossible. Rebuild broken walls, repair burned gates, restore a lost national identity. But Nehemiah had what few leaders have, a vision bigger than himself and a faith in God that wouldn't waver. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we encourage pastors to set their vision high, focus on God's calling and God's equipping, and boldly lead their people forward. Whether opposed by people, circumstances, or discouragement, Nehemiah did what godly leaders do. He went to his knees in prayer. He repented for his sins and the sins of the people. He beseeched God to hear the prayer of his servants who feared his name. Then he encouraged the people to work. Despite the opposition, the walls were rebuilt, gates repaired, identity found, and the worship of God restored. And you can do the same. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network.
Sign up as a partner and learn more about us at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
You know, Sam and Dave, when we did this program for so long called Freedom Focus, which is really the predecessor to this particular program, we were only on for a half hour, and I always felt as though we ran out of time. Now that we're on for an hour, I feel the same way. I think we could talk 24 hours a day in some of these issues that are before us, and bringing the Word of God and the United States Constitution to bear upon these issues. I want to switch gears for just a moment during this last segment, because a lot of our people probably will be hearing about this today. Today, all across the nation and around the world, is referred to as Earth Day. And it's an annual event celebrated on April the 22nd, on which day events worldwide are beheld to demonstrate support for environmental protection. It was first celebrated in 1970. By the way, I remember that as a student in college. I remember when it was first celebrated. And it is now coordinated globally by a group called the Earth Day Network. And it's celebrated in more than 192 countries each year. It was really initiated by a fella by the name of John McConnell, who was a fella who was constantly pushing for peace. He just wanted peace here and peace there. And, of course, we know that back in the day that that was something that came out of the hippies and the yippies movement and so forth and so on. But the thing has grown. The thing has developed to be worldwide. And, Dave, the question I have for you relative to Earth Day, the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Certainly, we've got a responsibility to take care of this world that God has given us. But when you hear people talking about global warming and this and that and the deterioration of the environment, how does something like Earth Day fall into line with what the Word of God says and our responsibility to the earth?
Well, obviously, Gary, we have a responsibility to be good stewards of everything that God has given us, and the earth, the globe, the planet is one of those. However, in Genesis 1:28, the Bible says this, and God is speaking to reference to Adam and Eve, the first two that he created. And the Bible says he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over. And he lists all these things that man was to have dominion over. The whole point of Genesis 1:28, Gary, is this, that the earth was made for man's benefit, not man made for the earth's benefit. Let me give a silly example that maybe will make sense. I have an automobile that was built by Hyundai, and I drive that Hyundai Genesis because it was built for my benefit, for me to get from place to place and to do so in an equitable time and in a comfortable manner. However, if I begin to put onto that automobile an undue emphasis and I begin to elevate that automobile to the place that I believe my entire existence is to be given to sustaining, keeping up, to bestowing honor upon, to in some way, in an inappropriate manner, giving recognition to that automobile and lifting it up, then that's gotten totally out of perspective. I am living for a car instead of the car being for my benefit. That's exactly, Gary, on a far grander scale, what happens when people take an inordinate approach to the earth. Should we be respectful of it? Should we take care of it? Should we be good stewards? Of course. But to go to the extreme that those who are promoting Earth Day have gone, and that those that are on the environmental end of the perspective and have become radical environmentalists, Gary, that is a total rejection of what God said is the purpose for this earth.
You know, we were talking in the last segments about the idea of marriage and what Romans 1 says about it and so forth and so on. But Sam, as we look at this idea of Earth Day and the way that so many people seemingly take it out of proportion, is this another illustration where at times there are folks who are worshiping the creation rather than the creature, the creator?
Gary, I think exactly that's exactly what's happening, and Dave laid out what the biblical principles are. Certainly, we are to be wise stewards. However, the earth is not our mother, as many in this whole concept believe. God is our creator. There's a huge difference. I did not come out of the dirt. I came out of the when God breathed life into me, and all of us who are living. I mean, we are not. As many of these would hold to. And certainly the thinking that, well, if we procreate, if we have children and grandchildren, which is what God's command is from the beginning, if we continue to do that, which is what God says, that we're going to starve ourselves to death, or as an example, because we're going to run out of air, we're going to run out of water, we're going to run out of food. Well, God never said that we're going to run out, and frankly, we've not run out. Just look at all these folks who are saying we're going to run out of oil. Well, now we've got so much oil. Where did it all come from? Well, it was always there. And God said that what's in the ground, the ore, the coal, the minerals, was all there by his design for us to use. We're not going to run out of it. But as you're talking and saying, has it become a religion? Yeah, I believe it really has. I mean, even our own president just very recently talked about global warming, which is again all out of this Earth Day and worship of the fact that we're going to, if we don't do major changes, we're going to, you know, cease to exist. He called that the single greatest threat to humanity. Mm. Well, I can guarantee you, other than what's happening in this earth today, other than when a tornado hits, which again we can go where that came from, but other than things of that type, he played and puts that as a much greater threat than frankly like Islam, who is out there actually killing people right and left and threatening the United States of America. There is, in fact, a worship of the earth. There is a worship of this concept, which is a despising and a setting aside of God and the Creator. So yes, that is the problem. Yes, wise stewards, but God made it for us. As Dave said, he's the Creator. The earth is not our mother.
And you know, Gary, actually what this is the ultimate expression of humanistic thought, that man is the most important. How arrogant is it for human beings to think we can exhaust the vastness of what God has created? Only can you come to that conclusion that we can exhaust that, we can use it up, we can deplete the water supply, we can deplete this, deplete that, if you reject that God is the one that's created it all, created it in abundant supply, created it for the benefit of man to use. And so, Gary, when this Earth Day concept came about, it was the consummate expression of defiance against the God of heaven.
Well, it was. And of course, you know, one of the things that I often say in my ministry, and this relates to both Christians as well as the people of the world is concerned, and that is we are living in a time when people do not know who God is, what God expects, and how God operates. And when we don't know who God is, what God expects, and how God operates, then we're going to have a philosophy, a thought process that is totally humanistic and godless. And sometimes this is where things like Earth Day not only comes from, but also leads to. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for joining us on today's edition of Stand in the Gap Today. The Lord willing, we will be back tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl saying stand up for faith and freedom, keep looking up, watch God work, and remember, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.